Welcome to Questions About Heaven, a podcast about giving Bible answers to our questions about the afterlife with God. Each week, we seek to answer real-life questions with biblical answers about the life beyond this world. Now, here's your host, Brad Zockel.
And a wonderful, wonderful day to you. This is Brad. I'm glad that you joined me. This is the Questions About Heaven podcast, and you're listening to the Heaven Tour Ministry. I just really thank you so much for joining me, and we have a chance to be able to talk. This will not be a Revelation edition today. I'm going to be talking, looking around the Scripture here, talking about the heaven, the entrance into heaven, and really what the Bible tells us about the comparison between time here on earth and time in heaven. You'll see what I mean whenever I get going here into the Scriptures. As we've been talking about Revelation, everything just yaws open into eternity and great intimidation. And as I said, we can all calm down. Always remember this, as I told a group over in California, to the believer, no matter what it is in detail, always remember this, and this is in the Zockel parlance, things are better than they are here. So when somebody says, I'm afraid of time, it'll be better. Right now, time is an enemy to us, isn't it? And we get intimidated, and that's why there's such a trepidation as to what's it going to be like. It's a fear of the unknown, but always remember this simple thing. Everything described in the Bible tells the Christian it's going to be better, much better, super better, incredibly better. As a matter of fact, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it's beyond our imagination. We get hints here and there. In verse 10, it tells us that. But to the Christian, you know, we're not going to be able to fully grasp these things, just like it says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, that we don't really know how we will be. But we do know this, we will see Jesus as he is, and we will be like him. So we're going to talk about something here and run through some scriptures to remind our friends who feel that permanency is only found on earth. Everything that I want is here, and this is all I enjoy, and that's just not true at all, is it? But before we do, I want to thank you so much for your care. You know, as I've talked about in my previous podcast here, that Acorn Global Advance, a wonderful ministry, has undertaken our project for me to be able to get a new vehicle. Well, not a new one. We're trying to raise enough money for me to get a lower mileage vehicle. And I'm going to make this real fast because I gave an explanation on the last podcast, but I've cleared $241,000 on the Honda CR-V, and I have a full schedule of traveling on my second of four circuits in this calendar year. I will be driving, not flying, but driving too. Mississippi, Alabama, North Carolina, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Florida, and Tennessee on this next lap. And that only takes me up to the cusp of the summertime. And so we're putting some serious miles on that old car. I think it's about a 2015. And the mechanics, I have wonderful mechanics, like they're the best. And they told me, we can keep this going, but you'll want to be looking at a new car once you clear 250, as would be the way with all Honda CR-Vs. Oh, you could push some to 300,000, they said, but they're saying, with the mileage you're putting on this car, that's not a good idea. So we are aiming to get another Honda because I absolutely love them. They're reliable as anything. But I'm also reminded there are many times as I'm driving, I'm going through miles and miles of virtual wilderness, going to places where there are no streetlights or gas stations. And I ran through some heavy fog banks on the way to Pennsylvania, snowing, a snow squall. I've been in some pretty severe weather and driven in the early hours of the morning where other people, it's very good. I have a good braking system and careful, but I do need to get a car that's going to continue to be reliable. So Acorn Global, it's acornglobal.org, is undertaking this, and we have a matching fund for up to, I think, $5,000. For every dollar you give, it'll be matched. So if you give $25, it'll be worth $50. If you give $5, it'll be worth $10. If you give $100, it will be worth $200, and so on. And that's a wonderful opportunity, the matching gift. If you can help us out, I don't have the information, the specific, but we're aiming, if I can remember right, on Global, we're aiming to raise at least $12,000. I believe the exact number is $12,500. We are talking with a number of different places, and I'd like to get another Honda.
on here. Again, not a new car, not a new car. I don't want to presume that you would think that I'm going to go and get some fancy schmancy car. I'm just needing a reliable transportation that I can travel and just have just a good, powerful, reliable car. Okay, so now, as we continue on, as I said, I'll be heading out in 2 weeks to Mississippi, Alabama, and then continuing on into North Carolina. A number of places I'll be going to. As the Lord has allowed, at the end of the month, I will be traveling to and flying into Grand Junction, Colorado. I will let you know more details about that. The Tremont, Mississippi meeting is at Mountain Methodist Church in Tremont, Mississippi. Hamilton, Alabama, there is a church they're talking with, but right now we're going to be meeting, as I know, in a venue, I think it's the back of a restaurant. We're going to be having an outreach there like we did last time, and I'll tell you the exact places if you're in the area. I would love to see you. Well, I'm looking at the scripture here, and when we start talking about the eternality of heaven, I mean, think about what we're looking at here when we talk about the forever. We're going to have fullness of joy, Psalm 16:11. And it tells us in Isaiah 55 and verse 11, happiness will last forever, joy, gladness. And we have all of this. We're seeing that he shall reign, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. These wonderful words of like we have read, world without end. We're seeing a time when we don't have to look at the fearful edge, precipice of our life, that we will all inevitably fall off. But we're looking at eternity here. But there are some that would feel, and under the idea that this is going to be it, that this life is the best life, and really some will actually never grasp the idea that indeed they're going to die. And I think it's important for you to write down these notes in your Bible Encyclopedia of Heaven about the reality of death. And so if you're taking these notes, as we've encouraged you to do, not only to study the scriptures, Acts 17:11, to search the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so, but also to write these down and use these as an act of witness, to give a reason for the hope that is within you. And so somebody says, you know, the Bible doesn't really deal that much with the shortness of life and eternity. It's just a book of morals and of goodness, and Jesus is just a nice person. Well, let's talk about this, what the scripture tells us in here, about how temporal this life is. James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, just tell us right off. James, I just absolutely love the bluntness that he has when he talks with people. And when people refuse to look at eternity, he says, don't even assume that you're just going to say, tomorrow we'll go here, tomorrow we'll go there, as if you have a premium on time. You just don't know. And then the famous passage in James 4:14, life is like a vapor. That is so, the Greek word is atmos. And it's just saying, it's just a puff of steam coming out of a tea kettle, for example. How long does that last? That is how quickly your life comes and goes. Are you thinking it's permanent? I mean, think about it. This would be like, you know, if you're assuming that you are the center of the universe and you are the holder of all time, drop a BB in the middle of the Indy 500 track, which goes for who knows how long, that multi-mile track, a BB, and then have somebody else come out and just try to find it. Your life is a shorter span in the vast history of time than even that. It is just microscopic, or, you know, just considering the vastness of what time is on earth. And some people will try to feel that they have a premium on that. It's like, you know, assuming you can scoop out the Pacific Ocean with a Dixie cup. It's just the idea, the perception is so self-deceiving here. We're seeing, we're not boasting about this. Think of Luke chapter 12 in verses 16 through 21. It tells us there is a man that decided that he was going to go and be in control of his life and everything that's going on. And when you take a look in Luke chapter 16, you'll find a very, very striking story about the arrogancy of man. It is an illustration given. You know, the four books of the Bible that are biographical about Jesus aren't Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you see the teaching here when we take a look on Jesus talking about the brevity of life, the reality of understanding how important it is to prepare for eternity. And he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I'll do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So this is the way. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" So you'll go back, and somebody says, "Well, is it wrong to save and store?" No, listen to what he says. He says to himself, "To my soul, soul, you've done it. You've achieved it." He didn't say, "Now, this will take care of me temporarily. This will help me to reach out. I can give a portion to others," as we read about, as Luke 14 talks about, the Christians are looking out for others, wanting to give, the early church. No, 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 no. This is for me, and it reaches down to my soul. And then he's gone. The brevity of life here, not thinking about the future. What does it say in Job chapter 7 and verse 16? Life is like a weaver's shuttle. Now, just down the road here, there is one of the living history type of presentations in South Carolina, and they have a weaver's shuttle. And you will take this contraption, which is about the size of a piano, and you will move crosswise these different strings of yarn, pushing it into a vertical position, moving up and making a tapestry, making a different type of a rug or something like this. But it is just one push, and that has been placed against the vertical strings, the horizontal one, and it's done, okay? And there are those that can move very quickly. A gifted woman can do that in those days. Well, he's saying, each push is like a lifetime. My life moves just like a weaver's shuttle. Very, very graphic there, too. And our days are cast as a shadow. It's just here, and then it goes. All right, how fast can a shadow go? I go to the back of the yard here in our farm area, and then I come back up to the front a little bit later on after doing some chores. Next thing I know, the sun has shifted, or I'm doing some recording outside, and I have to keep adjusting if I'm taking too long because the sun is constantly moving. The shifting shadows, that's what our lives are like. Job chapter 9, verse 25, it says that our lives move more swifter than a post. That Hebrew word post actually means a runner, a sprinter. It's here and there. You know, we look in the NFL combine drafts, and they're running a 40 in the matter of seconds, or the 100 meter race. It's done in a matter of seconds, and we have great significance. There's more preparation than there is for the actual race. That's the way our life is. Man of woman. Is a few days, he says here. Psalm 90 in verse 10 tells us, listen, on a good life will be 70 years, 70 years. If you have extra strength, you make 80 years. But it tells us very specifically there in Psalm 90 in verse 10, your life flies away. It just flies away. It moves so quickly. As you'll see a bird land on your front yard and you go out to see if it's injured, and it flies away, and you have no way to grasp it. It's gone. It's out of your reach. It's out of your domain. That's the way our life is. Can we control it? Even the great, you know, the ones of great wealth, they can't do anything for that. I'm reminded of Steve Jobs, who pushed away North American medication and took what I'm told in his biography. He went around to try to find other medicines and felt he had all the time in the world to heal himself of his cancer. And when he came back, they said it was too late, and he admitted, "I was foolish in this. Okay, my life just flew away. I have no control over these things." Psalm 102, verse 11, our days are like shadows, or like grass in the withering sun. And living in Phoenix for 6 years, didn't we ever see that? How the grass would just be withered under the scorching sun. These things go so fast. Why am I sharing these things? Because we are continually reminded again and again and again of the brevity of this life. What is the answer, the antidote, the joy, the comfort for this? In Christ, we are just awash in love. in our existence, both here and in the future. John 10:10, Jesus says, I give you life, and I give it more abundantly. Well, that not only means it's deeper here, it's also longer into there. God says, come home. And he doesn't say, okay, you can stay for 10 years. Or, listen, if you get too loud, I'll keep you for a couple centuries, but I want you out of here. I will dwell, Psalm 23:6, in the house of the Lord forever. And what is this place like? What is this home like, as Jesus calls it in John chapter 14, and Paul calls it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Father's home? Psalm 16:11, what does it say? It tells you, in your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. So not only is it heavy with love, Ephesians 2:7, thick with kindnesses, continual kindnesses, it is also in away from any fear of cessation. God says, Jeremiah 31:34, I've loved you with an everlasting love. It's going to stay there. It's going to continue there. Oh, what a blessing. Well, I'm going to get going. Speaking of time, I see it's time for me to get going here. We'll have some more studies in Revelation in our future podcast, but I hope this is an encouragement, but also a warning to those that might feel they have a premium. This life is going to never end, and they will have it. And there are people like that, that I don't need to think about eternity. I've got everything I want here. It's important for us to be able to share these verses. Thank you, friends. God bless you, and Lord willing, we'll talk soon.
Thank you for listening to Questions About Heaven with Brad Zockel. The Heaven Tour Ministry is traveling across the country and speaking on the Bible truths about our eternal home with God. You can find out more about our ministry by visiting our website at www.theheaventour.com. If you'd like to partner with us, receive our newsletter, or donate to our ministry, please go to our website at theheaventour.com. Look for the Heaven Tour Ministry on Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. Thank you, and God bless you greatly.